What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Even though he homered after being hit by the pitch, he swings and this one is cranked out to left. Lucas turns, he looks, and it's out of here. Is it Adrian Beltre or Marcus Semien? Marcus Semien with his second homer of the series, and the Rangers strike first with a two-run shot here in the second.
That is how we start the live Monday edition of Sean and RJ. Choppy out this week on vacation, golfing in Gaylord, Michigan. I'm Sean Treif alongside Cowboys insider Bobby Roberto Belt. We got Peyton and Aiden in the back. We are live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube with the 6 a.m. club. The Rangers, they ride four home runs to avoid the sweep against Toronto, 10-4. They get in double digits offensively, but after the carnage and damage that was done over the rest of the weekend, 5.5 back in the wild card now, 7.5 back in the American League West.
But it's all better. They scored 10 runs, and so it's good. They're good. The offense is fixed. Nothing is wrong. We're just going to look the other way. There was a little bit of that from Rangers fans, I felt like yesterday, where it's
what
like,
a great job by the boys.
We might be able to jumpstart this. Maybe this is the jumpstart we need. It's just they're still trying to hold on to hope a little bit, I think.
Really?
That's what I saw.
Okay. In the previous games, you've scored 4, 5, 2, and then you got the 10 yesterday. I was ready to make yesterday the final nail in the coffin if they had lost that game.
Mm-hmm.
I was ready to just say, all right, this is done and over with. Full Cowboys preseason game number 3. We're not even going to have Jared Sandler on if they win. We're going to have a memorandum in memory, whatever the funeral procession is. But Jared will join us at 8 o'clock today as Marcus Semien, Wyatt Langford end up going yard.
Does feel like...
But Friday, Saturday was disaster on my timeline and social media reactions.
We went to the Cowboys game Saturday night. Wow. And we were hanging out down there, and I ran into a couple different people, and that was one of the questions I got 2-3 different times was, Rangers are done, right? Rangers are done. It's like, yeah, they're it feels like they're done right now. Now they'll always do enough to, like, they'll give you a game like this where it's like, all right, they won another game, and maybe you feel like, all right, you know, Evaldi's still pitching well, and you've got DeGrom, and you know, this pitching, as long as they can just like pick up some of this momentum, if Semien can pick this up, if Wyatt Langford can pick up some of this momentum. But the reality is that this is a probably 500 baseball team. That's probably what they are. They're about 80 to 84 wins this season.
Five straight hits with two outs in the fourth inning resulted in 3 runs. You heard Semien. Berger came up big. We got some negative injury news on him. Jonah Heim as well. And Nick Harris had sent this out after Friday's loss. The Rangers have lost 29 games in the seventh inning or later this year. 29. That includes 14 of their last 21. If they just won 14 of those 29, so half, they'd be leading the entire American League by 4 games.
Oh.
The entire AL by 4 games. But we take you back in time. Over the weekend, they were up 3-0 in the seventh inning on Friday. You and I were out to dinner and chilling with the family, and Jared Sandler just starts hitting me up. Are you seeing this? Are you kidding me? Oh, my gosh. And I'm like, all right, what's going on? Let's figure out what's going on with the Rangers. Garcia's in. What is Bruce Bochy doing? What is Bruce Bochy doing having this guy still with the ability to throw a baseball on a big league roster? He gives up a 2-run homer. Sean M. McFarlane had tweeted, Robert Garcia has allowed a run in 5 of his last 7 appearances and is 0-for-3 in save situations this month.
Ooh.
He's got a 12-6 ERA in 7 games since August 1st. Marcus, though, he has a 2-run homer. That gives you 5-2 in the 8th. You're good to go. Then they take the lead against Maton. He, including a walk with the bases loaded, and you waste Jacob DeGrom pitching 5 shutout innings, allowing two hits with no walks and five strikeouts. And that's where yesterday I was like, this lead is getting blown.
Yeah.
I think they had two men on in the eighth inning. I was like, all right, here it is. They're going to hit a three-run homer. They'll be down by one, but the Rangers prevailed.
They rally in the end, and they hold on to it. But, man, you mentioned Garcia. They were the first 41 and a third innings he pitched this year. He gave up three home runs. He's given up four in the last five innings. Like, he's just – he's broken at this point. Yeah. And he had been – like, I don't want to pretend like he hadn't been good for them throughout the season. The first couple months of the year, he was nails. Like, he was really, really good for them. You're talking about a guy who up through mid-May was under a 2 ERA, and then before this stretch that he ran into, he was a 2.61 ERA entering this month. Like, you can run with that. That's not a problem. But he has completely lost it this month. He's just getting hit really hard. I think it was, what is it, out of his last seven appearances, he's failed to make it through the entire inning in, like, five of them, I think. And so it's been a rough road for him, but this is why you look at it and say, they needed back into the bullpen help. They needed closer help. They needed offensive help. Like, these are the two things that continue to kill them. I had to look it up because I knew they were getting crushed late in games. And so since the deadline, they've been outscored in the seventh through ninth innings, 27-11.
Oh,
they're just getting destroyed there. That's where they're Arizona. That's where they were getting worked. That's where they got worked a couple times against Seattle. This is their lot right now. It's they get good pitching for the first six innings. You turn it over to the bullpen. It's a close game. Bullpen can't hold it, and the offense can't do anything to rebound.
Patrick Corbin looks like the starter version of Garcia right now. As Saturday, he allowed a season-high seven runs in two and a third, shortest outing of the year. Corbin is winless since July 10th and has not finished the fifth inning of any of his past three starts as they get bludgeoned 14-2.
Yeah, that's the return to earth for him, which we all kind of thought that was going to be a possibility for him. Now when you look at it, it's because throughout the year it was like, all right, mid-3 ERA, he was just battling, and it was like, all right, this is stable, this is steady, this looks like something that you might be able to sustain, because he's not, even though he's not striking out a bunch of guys, he's not giving up a whole bunch of hard contact, he's not giving up home runs. And then you look at the last four starts, his ERA is 9.2. 9.2 in four starts. That's just, it's awful. And this is what you were worried about the whole time with the Rangers starting staff, is that if they went sideways a little bit, you didn't have the back end of the bullpen or the offense to be able to sustain it, to be able to save it. And that's what they're running into now. And that's why they've struggled so much.
877-881-1053. Is it over? Was it the weekend nail in the coffin for your Rangers? This, of course, is your home for Rangers baseball on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan. Star up, star down for your Cowboys review coming up at 7:20. We'll do legit or loco on the home of the Cowboys. Did I say 7:20? 6:20, star up, star down, 7:20, legit or loco, best and worst of the weekend, Jared Sandler at 8 o'clock. It's a new Music Monday at 8:20, and then Nick Eatman recapping Cowboys 0-2 at 9:20 here on DFW Sports Station. What happened with John Gray? It's kind of a weird story.
Dude, John, so you look at the fact that other than him getting shelled, or him going unclaimed on waivers, you mean?
Waivers.
No, yeah. No, Gray is at the point now where they're just trying to free up money, I think. I would imagine. This is the same thing that they looked at when they were looking at trading Adolis, was the idea of we've got to be able to free up cash. And Gray was the guy that was the easiest opportunity for them to trade, I felt like, at the deadline when they were looking at pitchers, because the whole idea was let's move on from him. Let's free up money. We don't need the space right now. Let's go ahead and do this. And so they'll do these unclaimed waiver things in August and September a lot of times, just to see, will somebody take on the cash? Will somebody remove it from us? But that's another thing that probably signals to them that they're pretty much out of this right now, and they recognize where they are and what opportunities they have, and they need to free up cash. This better be working towards something. Like, when you tell me you're not going to spend at the deadline because of certain restrictions that exist for you, whether it be in your minor league system or your cash or whatever else, when you tell me, like, well, we just got to bite this bullet for the rest of this year, and when we get into 26, we're going to be able to spend money. Okay, you better do that next offseason then, because if you don't, this team's not going to get good in a hurry, because this is a minor league system that's really weak right now, and a bunch of players who clearly have peaked at this point in terms of when we wonder, was that the peak or was that the building towards something? It looks like they've peaked.
Well, I wouldn't hold my breath towards another Seager DeGrom spending spree. This is the danger when you get we're not a mid-market team. That's the thing that's really frustrating about it, right? We're a top five market, but it still feels like, hey, if the Rangers get a title, we can live off that for the next 15 years. The Rangers are that type of organization. And that's the way people think about us in Major League Baseball. You just hope that management and ownership, I should say, does not feel that same way. We got the title, right? If you're the Yankees, if you're the Phillies, if you're the Dodgers, you're saying we need three more. Mm-hmm. Okay, whoop-de-doo, we got one. We're supposed to win one. But when, you know, you're the Rangers, you just hope that ownership would probably come back and say, I know for a fact that ownership has been very unhappy recently saying, we spent all this money and we're a 500 team.
Yeah.
We spent all this money and we're not scoring. That tells me the mindset, Bobby, that probably isn't going to be building towards what you're hoping for.
No, but that's the other thing.
They're saying, look, we got Jacob DeGrom. We paid Seager. We paid Semien. We spent.
Yeah, and look, what you were supposed to have behind that was guys getting to the majors and clicking faster and guys sustaining who they were. Like Nathaniel Lowe was supposed to be a little bit better. Like, he wasn't supposed to bottom out as quickly where you moved on from. Adolis wasn't supposed to just all of a sudden bottom out. You thought Evan Carter was going to, like, continue that trajectory that you got. Like, you had guys that you were projecting into the minor league system, Jack Leiter, Kumar Rocker, like, all these different guys that you thought, this is the young talent coming up from behind it. We're going to invest in these big stars to make us competitive now. And then these young stars are going to come up alongside them. And those guys just haven't hit the way that they thought they were going to. They haven't clicked into place the way that they banked on and the way that they thought. And now what you're left with is, man, some aging superstars who cost you a bunch of money, like Marcus Semien, and some talent that has not clicked into place the way you want it. So it's like, all right, your only option now to recover this is going to be to spend money again.
So John Gray is still on the team.
Yes.
They just put him on waivers, hoping someone would pick up the rest of the money.
Yeah, and then put him on IL yesterday. And so that's kind of where he's at right now. Is that was the hope of just, it's like during the in past years when you would hear something back when you had the post waiver trade deadline where you'd get guys who would get put on waivers claimed and then a deal would get worked out or something like that. This time around now, it's just put them on waivers, see if somebody will take the money from you.
For all the John Gray love, he still had a 7.94 ERA last month. This month, it's a 7.56. I feel bad for him because he's thrown into these situations, yeah, right? It's like you're starting to get shelled. John, get in there for four innings and save the bullpen. It's a 7.71 ERA on the season with the most recent outing, the 14-2 loss, 2 1/3 with four earned, giving up two bombs.
How much money does he make?
Six?
No, $13 million. He's owed $13 million. This season, he was a $13 million contract. So if you can remove 2 months or 6 weeks worth of that $13 million salary and potentially, you know, make your massage some things a little bit in terms of your finances, I get it, especially with the way that he's been pitching. So just see if somebody will take him out there. He's clearly not pitched well enough to where anybody wants to tap into that right now, though.
Pepe, you were holding out hope still last week as a Ranger diehard. How are you feeling after the Toronto series?
Barely hanging in there. Marla. It's just so frustrating because if this team just gets beat straight up, then it's like, okay, whatever. The other team's just better than them. But it's the way they've lost that's so freaking exhausting. And I know that you kind of got to look at it both ways. They've had some, you know, crazy comebacks that, you know, that even out their, you know, meltdowns late in the games. But it was a loss last week to Arizona. And then you had, you know, a game against the Yankees that you felt like you could have won. You probably should have taken 2 or 3 here. But, you know, you win Friday. And so in Saturday's game, we'll just, you know, forget about that one. But you know, it's frustrating. That Phillies series is still frustrating. You should have taken at least one, maybe two out there as well. But it's the way you're losing that's so frustrating here.
And now you're getting the Royals, who have won 3 in a row and 7 of their last 10. They're 2 games over. You're 1 game under, 3rd in the American League Central. And it'll be Kansas City against your Rangers right here on your home for Rangers baseball, 105.3 The Fan. The Sandman will join us at 8 o'clock. Your Cowboys report card. Star up, star down. What stood out, good or bad, for the Cowboys against the Ravens? 877-881-1053 to hit us up. 877-881-1053. Star up, star down for Cowboys Baltimore is next.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. happening now, connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Third down, and Milton throwing it. No, he won't throw it. He'll be sacked for a safety. A little more presence. He's got to get rid of the ball. Milton sacked for a safety by Marquise Robinson.
Not a good start. And not a good start for Star Up, Star Down on your official home of the Dallas Cowboys. Thanks to the Tolos as part of the 6 a.m. Club on the Fan Camp, Twitch, and YouTube. Choppy is out on vacation this week. Bobby Belt was in Arlington. We got Peyton and Aiden in the back. Give us your Cowboys report card at 877-881-1053.
The leadoff here has to be, and it has to be because I was instructed by Zach Wolchuk as we were walking walking out of halftime.
To praise Matt Stafford?
Pretty close. I mean, it was another quarterback thing, but he's walking in front of me, turns around, he points at me, like almost sticks his finger in my chest. He's like, "You better go as hard after Milton as you did after Trey Lance last year." I'm like, oh gosh, we still got Trey Lance loyalists around here.
Yeah, but Zach tweeted, "This is unfair to the rest of the team." That's what he ended up saying. Like, enough is enough. This is unfair in the evaluation for the rest of the Cowboys, with Joe Milton in the first half going 2 for 8 passing, 14 yards, 1 interception, the passer rating a 0.0. For the game, he ends up 9 of 18 for a 122, no touchdowns and a pick.
When you see the safety that we just played coming back, the call Sham had of the safety, that was like, when I saw that, I was like, he can't be out there. Not right now. He can be out there right now. I don't care. Zach and I differ a little bit. We talked about it in the postgame. He and I differ a little bit on how unfair it may be to the rest of the team to have him out there. I don't think it particularly is. Like, to me, I think a lot of this stuff, when Mingo gets free in the first game, I think the team looks at it and goes, better ball, he's there.
And man, does Milton love Mingo.
He does. Well, and now Mingo's got his knee that he's dealing with, according to Todd Archer. So we'll see how long that takes for him to get back. But
so why is this different? Because RJ Ochoa blogging the boys was pointing out the differences. Just explain it for the radio audience. Why is this different from Trey Lance?
I don't think it totally is. Now, here's the thing. There's a few different things that are different. But in general, is he just as maddening when you watch him out there as it was with Trey Lance last year? Yeah. Is it just as bad? Yeah, a lot of ways it is. The difference is that Trey Lance was in year 5 or whatever he was, 4 or 5. He was a former top 3 pick, and it's somebody that you gave up a 3rd rounder for, or a 4th rounder, whatever you did. Like, you gave up to, like, the idea of just like, I'm going to buy low on a guy who we think if he hits big, there's still a lot of positive thought about this guy and who he can be. And so Trey Lance was a different question in terms of pedigree and things like that. Milton was a 6th round pick for a reason. Like, that's where he went because everybody knew how raw he was and how much, like, man, it's the tools are all there.
A 5th, right?
5th or 6th. I can't remember.
Because Dane Brugler tweeted during the game, a 5th, this is what he is, a 5th felt too rich.
A lot of people feel that way about him. Is that the thing is that it's such a big leap to say, you have all the tools, but are you ever going to put it together? Like, are you ever going to become a football player? And that's you didn't know that question. You didn't know the answer to that. And he's shown flashes at times. When he throws the ball, that throw he threw down the sideline, it was beautiful.
Yes.
It was a great throw. That's great. He can't see free rushers coming. He had no awareness on that safety that there was a rusher coming. And it was right up the gut. I mean, there were 2-3 different times where you saw him point out somebody at the line of scrimmage, like point out a rusher and say, like, ah, he's coming. That guy doesn't come. And then somebody else does, and they run free, and now he's rushing a throw again. It's maddening to watch him. I'm not done with him, though.
This is
like
what
I was with Lance.
This is what Ochoa said. This is much better than the Trey Lance situation if you allow yourself to calm down a little bit. Milton is a second-year player getting the time to learn and grow that he needs at this stage. That never happened with Trey. Dallas acquired Lance at the end of the preseason in his 3rd year.
Yeah, and when Lance came back around, Lance was obviously somebody that they brought in. He got the full offseason. Then he came into training camp, and he still looked bad. Like, this is when we saw Lance look this bad, it was after a full year of sitting here and the full reset had been hit. That's not the case with Milton. Milton got here this offseason. He's obviously had time to work on things, but he was somebody who he could have been in the system the last 2 years, and there's still Let's put him out there for every single rep, basically, during these games, because we need him to get the reps. We need him to learn how to play the game. That's why, to me, if you're telling me which is more valuable, Joe Milton getting every rep during the preseason and learning how to play football, or making sure Will Greer's in there so that Jalen Cropper can catch a slant, I'm going to take Joe Milton and just take my chances with, we'll figure out, we'll get the evaluation right of the receivers. Let me see Joe Milton get reps, though, and work on getting better.
Cowboys offense in the first half. Safety taken, three and out. Turnover on downs, three and out. And I kind of charted Joe's day. Safety on the first drive with that DB blitz. He was way off to Jalen Cropper on a third and one. He throws the interception right after. The first play after the Kamon Hall pick, the overthrow into double coverage. That was awful. And he's way behind Mingo on a third and four. You're off the field. And then the great throw to Mingo with the bomb for 49.
I did like seeing the, it's a very brief thing, but I did like seeing the Schottenheimer-Dak relationship, the visual representation of it very briefly there after the Milton interception, where Shotty's basically over there talking to him and then like basically turns to Dak and goes like, you got this?
It was like 3 seconds with Shotty pointing something out, and then it seemed like it was 3 seconds with Dak.
Yeah.
With Joe.
Either it's like Shotty like, hey, you got this. I'm going to go back to coaching now. Like just in terms of that, they understand things the same way. It looked to me like visual representation of these two at least think similarly.
You got to figure out a way to shoehorn some Dak positivity.
That's not even a Dak positivity.
What do you take from Joe Milton's performance? Dak is a great coach.
That is not even a Dak positivity thing. And by the way, we know he's a great coach. We saw he got Will Greer claimed by the Bengals with that play calling he had a couple of years ago. Dear God. That's a real play caller, not Mike McCarthy.
Brian Schottenheimer on if he is concerned with Joe.
I wouldn't say I'm concerned. I mean, you know, again, we didn't get into rhythm offensively. You know, it's what we did in the first half against the Rams. You know, I think came out with a little bit of a different mindset in terms of trying to run the ball. They got him. They fooled him a little bit on the safety on the third down there. We're trying to get the ball of his hand fast, and they showed down one side, Calvin, and brought the blitz from the other side, and it just spooked him, and he's got to try to throw that ball away, and his feet were kind of talking to him, but it wasn't just Joe. I mean, we got to be able to run the ball better, got to take care of the football. He throws the ball with a lot of tempo. I thought Hunter had a ball. He could have made a catch on the over. And again, you hit a couple of those things and it gets you going. You know, sometimes, you know, you need somebody to help you make a play. And I don't think we did a great job of that. I just told the guys, I said, hey, the bottom line is this, you know, we're not going to say that that's just a preseason game. We're not just going to say, oh, we'll be fine. You know, we're going to look at it, because the fact that, you know, we really lost both halves, that is something that you know, we have to get corrected. There's too many good football players, too many good coaches for us to perform the way that we did tonight.
The fan text, the Frankel and Frankel injury attorneys fan text is, I wouldn't say melting down, but they're overheating is what I'm seeing here. We got Shoddiest Campo 2.0. The question is Schottenheimer really this bad, not Milton? Look, I understand this hasn't been great from Joe Milton. I don't know that there's a damn thing you can take out of these first two games that will tell you anything good or bad, really, about Brian Schottenheimer yet. That to me, I don't know.
Buffalo lost last night 38-0.
Just take a breath. It's not that. And look,
this Shoddy's is why we have Legit or Loco at 720.
Shoddy
is the Cowboy take and the meltdowns on social media, Legit or Loco.
Shoddy is not the reason that Milton is just missing people. And that Milton has not seen a blitz coming and just getting lit up in the end zone. That's not on Schottenheimer. Like I said, Schottenheimer may or may not be a good coach. We'll find out. This is not the time to judge. If they won this game 45-0 and they won the previous game 52-3, it'd be the same line. This doesn't tell us anything about him as a head coach yet.
Brian, do you think you could win a game without Dak if you needed Joe in the regular season?
Yeah, I think we have to believe that. I think we do believe that. You know, I think, again, when you put a game plan together for these guys and, you know, whether you're playing with Joe or you're playing with Will, you know, you're going to have a plan of how you want to play. Hey, look, Cooper Rush has played in this league for a long time. You know, what he did tonight, it didn't surprise anybody in the first half. I mean, I've seen him do that for the last 3 years. And so Joe Milton's in year two, you know. And so, again, I'm not panicked, again, it's not just them. It's us as coaches. It's the other players. It's all that. But the biggest thing for me is, again, we just, you know, we have to balance up the time of possession. You know, we had the defense out there for over 40 minutes. That's too long. Why is that? Well, we weren't very good on third down, and we got to be better on third down. And they had a couple of wrinkles in the blitz game that we need to handle a little bit better. But for the most part, it's just really us executing, or tonight not executing.
I love listening to him speak. It's just refreshing in a press conference still. But that little segment of an answer response, that's what caused the meltdown over the weekend. When he said, I wouldn't say I'm concerned. We didn't get in a rhythm. It wasn't just Joe. On the backup QB spot, I feel like I don't have to decide anything today. Do you have a QB you can trust? I think we have to believe that. I think we do believe that. I'm not panicked. Y'all, what the hell do you want him to say? Would you rather him stand up there? What good does it do for him to say, yes, I'm panicked. Yes, we are freaking out. No, we do not have a backup quarterback on this roster. Can he say it? A few of you got that over the weekend.
I'm not panicked.
This was the series of quotes that had people losing their minds, thinking Brian Schottenheimer was delusional. He's in front of the microphone answering media questions for the entire world and DFW to hear. Come on. Use a little bit. Yeah. A little bit of common sense there.
And here's the thing. Joe Milton, we're talking about a guy who there are certain players you do want to press. You do probably want to get up there in a press conference and just say, yeah, look, he's got to be better. Joe Milton's not that guy. Joe Milton is the guy right now that they're trying to build his confidence and make him feel like, hey, you're coming along. This is good. This is progress. This is what we need. There are some guys you push this button. Some guys you push that button. Jimmy Johnson himself said, they were talking about, do you treat this player different? And Jimmy Johnson's quote was always, do you treat your kids the same? Do you raise all your kids the same? Do you parent them the same way? The answer is no. You parent kids a certain way based on, you know, you kind of meet them where they are. And they're meeting Joe Milton where he is. That's what they're doing right now.
Joe gave himself a D after the Rams opener. Does he feel like he has to put on a show against the Falcons? Last preseason game Friday on The Fan, does Milton have to put on a show?
I want to say I have to, like, just have to put something on film. I just feel like I need to just get better. Day by day, and that's just getting 1% better, and taking that up to 2%. Just try to get better, challenging my teammates around me to keep pushing me, and I just keep pushing myself too.
A week ago, Jerry Jones said on acquiring Joe Milton to Christie in the pregame here on The Fan, I have to pinch myself. That is looking like a quote right now that could come back to haunt.
Again,
so, a universal star down for Joe Milton against Baltimore.
Got to look, if you really want to get me over game, if you're worried about Dak missing a game or two at a time, you need to look at bringing somebody else in here if you don't trust Will Greer.
877-881-1053. That's the assessment of the quarterback and the coach. What about the rest of the roster? Star up, star down continues with Sean and Bobby right here on The Fan.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Slot formation on the right back to throw. Plenty of time. Throws it left. Intercepted by Booth. Down the right sideline he comes with a convoy. Booth into the end zone. Pick six. Touchdown for Andrew Booth. That did not hurt him.
If the offense can't get it done, Andrew Booth says, get on my back. Pick six return against the Baltimore Ravens with preseason game number two. Cowboys still lose 31-13 and fall to 0-2. Good morning, Metroplex, and shout out to the 6 a.m. Club, our best audience of the entire show. Sean Sharif, along with our insider who was at the game, Bobby Bell. Choppy is out on vacation. Andrew Booth with a pass breakup in addition to the pick six. Star up for him. And this, to me, Bobby, felt like, okay, this is a little drop kick to my face, because Andrew Booth is probably the number one player that myself and other Cowboy fans say, why is he on the team anytime he's out there? What does this do for him? And what have we not been getting that the Cowboys like to any degree?
Nothing. I think he kind of is what he's. He had a good game. He gets
What's
a star up.
Point?
He did get the interception. He had a couple of good plays. He was in position, but not good enough on a couple plays early in the game. I think it was the first two drives. He was in a spot where it's like, oh, he's there to. It was the Cheeto moment of just, oh, he's in a spot to make a play, and oh, the ball just sails right over his hand or right over his head. But this was, look, I was sitting in the.
Is he making the team? Opening day roster.
Yeah, probably. I especially just given where their corner situation is right now. They've got injuries and they're not certain about who they want to mix in there. But I was sitting up there in the dining area of the press box, and Ruben walks up to me, Ruben Portillo, our engineer, and he just goes, "Boy, Andrew Booth, he's good. He's like the MVP." I was like, "What are you talking about, dude? He's been and then he got the pick six right after that, and I was pissed because it's like, oh man.
Ruben's idol's Pat Doney too. I mean, his bar isn't that high.
But it was Andrew Booth, good game, had a good performance. He deserves credit for that. I still would not trust him out there in a regular season game ever. I would rather take my chances with Zion Childress. I would rather take my chances with another guy I'll give a star up to, Troy Pride. I'd rather have Troy Pride out there as a guy that even though he devastated me, he's the one who, what was that, 6 years ago I had told you guys about where he called me Mr. Belt when he got introduced to me at Michael Johnson Performance.
That's why you're giving him a star up.
No, he called me Mr.
Belt. Showed you respect.
No, wrong. He called me Mr. Belt, and I was like, he said, I saw your name was Bobby, but you just looked more like a Mr. Belt to me.
Oh!
I was like, that hurts.
He aged you.
I was like, that. I feel like we're kind of close in age, but I guess we're really not. That woke me up. But I think those two guys, they showed up in a big way. Obviously, Keemon Hall got the interception, but they were picking on him a little bit before that. Childress in the secondary, that's the guy that they really like. Zion Childress is the corner that I think they're really fond of.
He jumped out when we were doing their top 20 Oxnard performers with Eatman on Friday. I was like, what? I was like, do we have a Zion Williamson fan on here and mess this name? Like, Zion Childress,
yeah. He was an undrafted free agent out of Kentucky. Had started his career at Texas State, ended up transferring to Kentucky. When we had talked about undrafted free agents that could make the team right after they signed their class, and I had mentioned that, like, I had talked and asked around to some people and just said, hey, who did you guys really like out of your group? He was one that came up, like, that people were saying he's a good player. And so the fact that he can play the nickel is what's huge right now. He can play the nickel. He's willing to really get in there and stick his nose in things when it comes to run support. He's not afraid of contact. He's chippy. He's tough. Those are all things that they're really, really going to like, and it'll allow Deron Bland to play outside week one. They'll be able to say Elam and Bland outside, keep Childress in the nickel if that's what they're going to do. And so I think Childress is on this team. I think Childress is playing a ton of snaps week one.
I had a couple linebackers on my star up list. I had Jack Sanborn and early Mike Zimmer favorite.
Rush under center, got a fullback in an I formation. They will give it to the deep back, Ali. Really good play by Damone Clark. Sidestepped the block. Hopped into the backfield and made the tackle.
Damone Clark had 7 tackles on the day, 2 tackles for a loss. So I put him up there, and I'm getting these texts from Chicago media going, oh, you love the sand god? You love sand god so
what is,
far?
What is their obsession with him?
I don't know.
What was he for them last year? Was he like, just...
They want another lineage to Butkus and Urlacher, so you find a white linebacker and absolutely love him? I'm like... Yeah, he shined a little bit the other day.
Yeah, he's great. He's awesome. He's a Wisconsin linebacker. That's what he looks like out there. This is, yeah, the linebacker play overall was good in this game. Justin Barron was good. You got Sanborn and Clark, like you just mentioned. Outside of the penalty he had, I thought Darius Harris doing some stuff as a rusher was good. So, I mean, the linebacker play was something that was a positive in this one. Damone Clark specifically, though, that was a guy who Brian had talked about it. He had had a good camp. He showed up in the Rams game. He was not very good. And it was like, all right, we're regressing a little bit. So this is going to be a big game for him. And when he made those first couple plays that he had on the first drive or two, when he had those 2 or 3 plays that he made, I said this to Brian later. I was like, it felt like you could almost on like there in the stadium, you could like hear the exhale from him of just like, thank God, like I got it. And there's just so much intense pressure it feels like he puts on himself and always has, that when you see him make those plays and you see him build his confidence, it makes you optimistic that he can continue to build on that. But he's somebody who that's one of the guys on this team that he needs He needs the confidence right to be able to play right. That's a big thing for him.
I had another start for James Houston. First series, the sack. He had another nice hit on Cooper Rush as well. So he maybe was my biggest star up defensively.
It's obviously against guys who are, and Brian had said this when we were talking about it post game. That's somebody who looks like that's a veteran who's kind of figured some things out and realized, oh, I know how to work these guys in preseason games. But that's what you do. You learn your toolbox, you get it together. He was really effective, I thought. He's somebody who's a good rusher. He was good against the run. That's a guy that I wouldn't be surprised if he does sneak on and ultimately makes the roster. You're going to have to cut somewhere at that point, but that's somebody who I think could stick on the roster.
Tolos are weighing in on the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line, and Adam on X, star ups, Booker, Clark, James, Sanborn, star downs, Milton, Run D, and Milton. The Run D is a problem again, as they only gave up 3.8 a carry, but 39 for 148. And Brian Schottenheimer was asked afterwards about the continued question of this football team and their defense, the physicality.
Yeah, I mean, I just addressed that with the guys. I mean, we're going to have some physical practice this week, Todd. You know, we need to play more physical. I know we're more physical than that. Again, how do you do that? Well, you do that by having padded practices, and you do that by having your run drills and things like that. And, you know, we're not going to change who we are. We're not going to, you know, sit there and say, okay, hey, well, we're not, you know, a physical team. I'm not ready to say that right now. You know, I don't think that that's the answer. I think we're going to be a physical team, and I think we'll show that. But we have to practice that way. We have to have those in our practices and then bring it into the games.
They give up 148, Bobby. Meanwhile, they only run it for 51 yards, 2.6 a carry. Miles Sanders getting action, 7 for 15. Deuce, 5 for 11.
Yeah, start down run blocking. That was on that first drive. I was like, all right, we got Miles Sanders out here. We're going to be able to get to see a little bit of the juice. He had no shot on that first drive, the first couple of carries he got. That one where they almost got the safety on, I think, the second down run to Miles Sanders, where he gets outside and there's nothing out there for him. I think it was Nate Thomas who had whiffed on that block out there, but it did not look very good. I will say Booker is a guy who he got better as the game wore on in run blocking. And the more that the game went, the more he got a feel for it, the better he looked. Was that just where were your eyes just lasered in on 52 when they were on offense? Yep. And wanted to see that?
I'm like, what did he do on the safety? did someone run a stunt on him? I was just looking at Booker.
I think that he had a good game. I'll give him a star. He was somebody who I thought in pass protection was really solid overall. The run blocking did improve.
PFF said he did not allow pressure on 15 pass blocking snaps against the Ravens after apparently he was too good, not him. The coaches thought he was just too good or too valuable to play in week one. Shoddy on the first round picks debut.
Again, I didn't notice him as hard with some of the interior linemen. You guys probably saw it better than I did. But I will say I felt like some of the young guys played really well. I thought Shamar James played really, really well. I noticed him. I think, you know, like you said, Book, you know, played good. I thought Damone, who's really not a young player, he seemed like he was flying all over the place. So there's always positives that come from this. And that's what I told the guys. I said, you know, look, it's not good when you lose both halves. You know, really you should win a half, at least a half in these preseason games. And disappointed that we didn't, but we're going to get back to work and look for solutions.
Shamar James had 7 tackles and a pass defended.
That is right there. Whenever anybody says, why doesn't he go after Milton? Why doesn't he say, Milton, you suck? Anything else? He just got asked about Tyler Booker, and he went, I didn't really notice. He's like, he was good. He did some good things. I didn't really notice. Let me talk about Shamar James, though. Damone Clark, man. He was good.
Building up the others?
Tyler Booker doesn't need it. Tyler Booker does not. There are certain guys you got to approach a certain way, and I think Brian Schottenheimer realizes Tyler Booker doesn't need me to hold his hand. Tyler Booker doesn't need me to tell him, like, pat his head and say, you're doing really good.
Let me handle and discipline Tyler when I call him a cheater against little kids in youth races.
Damone does need to be told a little bit, like, hey, you're doing good, dude. Just, like, head down, keep up with this. Somebody else who needs to be told they're doing good, and they didn't do very good the other night, was Mozzie Smith. It's backups. You need to play better. We're getting close to a point where it's like, I know what they have on the roster in terms of defensive tackles, and they need bodies. We're getting really close to it. It's time to decide if he should be on the 53. This is just bad. It's
man,
not.
Man,
Tolo
recorded this play. He was pushed 6 yards backwards.
It's not good enough. This has been to this point. It has been the Tristan Hill, Taco Charlton type of experience. That's what it's been with Mozzie Smith. Not been good enough. Perrion Winfrey's a better football player than him right now, and that's the guy that you kind of picked up off the street late in the process. He should. If it comes down to, can we keep Perrion Winfrey? I would say cut Mozzie Smith at that point because Mozzie Smith has not shown you anything to this point that he's going to be a consistent, solid football player.
Tolo's avoided in the Fantex, 877-881-1053, 817 star down to Mozzie Smith yet again. 214 says star down to the entire front office. And then 817 says star up to Damone Clark.
Gabe, up, linebacker, shoddy on the challenge flag throw. Star down, Jalen Cropper. Ugh. That was a bad drop. That was a missile from Joe Milton. Terrible drop. Milton missing a wide open Cropper. Virtual measurement. For star up, star down, your Cowboys report card. We will do it every single day after a Cowboy game here on Sean and RJ.
And the biggest star up you missed. Star up to the Baltimore Ravens receivers for not being able to catch a football and giving them a couple interceptions. That was very nice of them.
877-881-1053. The way to get in on the Frank LaFranco injury attorney text line. Why Mike Bassick is to thank for finally getting a Rangers win. The return of Coach Ballsack next on 105.3 The Fan.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.